Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Exodus chapter 33. Today I'd like to speak on this subject, desperate demands. Have you ever been desperate? Have you ever been broken? Have you ever been to where, you know, I really just don't know what to do? I do not know of a chapter, besides maybe Psalms, when talking, David had a tendency, when David wrote his Psalms, that he kind of communicated well how he was feeling. There are other portions in the Bible that you just look at signs and you can imagine how this particular individual must have been feeling. Exodus chapter 33 is one of these chapters. A lot has gone on before this chapter. This is a story of Moses and the children of Israel, and God was leading them out of Egypt and all these things. And buddy, there was a bunch of ups and downs. To get to a promised land that should have taken about 5 days' journey, it took them over 40 years. Because they kept rebelling against God, and they would, you know, ask God for something, God would give it, then they'd be thankful, then they would complain before long, and then God would have, you know, it's just an up and down process. Moses, in the meantime, was a man that was in charge of all these people. Let me just say this, Moses probably would not be in charge of anybody in our day and time. He was a murderer. He had murdered an individual. So he would have been in jail in this day and time. But here, he basically led a bunch of Christians. Kind of the same thing. You know, if you think about it, it's both kind of like jail, I guess. I don't know. But Moses had been gotten to the point that he was very, very broken, desperate, confused, frustrated, angry, hurt. Notice, if you would, verse 1 in Exodus 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham. Remember, God had promised Abraham, all the way back at Abraham, that he would give them this land. And instead of just trusting God, they became fearful, thinking we can't defeat the people in this land and the giants and all these things. So they wandered around for 40 years. Verse 2, God says this, I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not, now listen what the Lord says, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I want you to look down, if you would, in verse, let's look at verse 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended, which was the presence of the Lord. Many times in the Old Testament was a cloud, and I've preached on that here before. This cloud ascended, in verse 9, and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Why? Because God had just pretty much said, I'm not going to go with you. I'm kind of done. You're stiff-necked, you're rebellious. And Moses was at the tabernacle now talking with the Lord. When they saw that cloud, that cloudy pillar descend, the people literally thought, maybe there's still one more chance. Now notice, if you would, verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his what? You see right there the condition that Moses was in. God is still God. And he is a holy God. But right then, God knew Moses needed a friend. Lord, I ask you to bless as we try our best to divide your word, to dig into it. Lord, I pray that we would obviously share only those things that you've laid on our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Preacher, why did Moses need a friend? Have you ever needed a friend? Well, there's some reasons, and I'm not going to take the time to show you all the scriptures, but I want you to notice, as far as our outline goes this morning, observation number one as we look at this passage, and there's more we'll look at. Observation number one, I want you to see how Moses felt. Why was Moses in such a need of a friend at this time? Number one, I want you to understand the things that had gone on up until verses 9, 10, 11. Number one, Moses was disappointed in the circumstances. You see, this is what had gone on. Here's Moses minding his own business, a man that had a problem with stuttering, speaking really around people. And God comes and says, hey, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. And Moses argued with God for a while. I'm not able. I don't have the capability and all these things. And here, but God just literally convinces Moses that this is what I'm calling you to do. You are the man for this task. And I'm asking you to do it. So here's Moses, and he comes in, goes through this whole thing. You know the story about how he goes into Pharaoh and all the plagues that God brought and all the back and forth and back and forth. And here's the children of Israel that have been captive for so many years. And God puts Moses in charge of these people. And I don't know if you realize it, and I hope that you do, it is never fun being in charge. Everybody thinks they can do it better than you. Everybody has their opinion. I'll sit at home and my son and I, or sons and I, we'll watch football and football season and stuff. And you know, they'll be playing and I'll be like, what is Tony Romo doing? Yeah. Feels like that's every week. That man was open right down the field. Now, would you like to see Daniel Hawtrey suit up? Just one play in the NFL. Well, I'm going to be the quarterback. Boom. I would trip over my own feet trying to back up after going under center. Could you imagine how horrible I would be? Can you imagine how much better he is than me? And yet I'm sitting at home in my couch, burping food, and I'm looking saying what he ought to do. Now Moses was in charge of these people. This is a long journey. They're eating manna. God's providing food. He's having to provide food. He's having to provide water. He's having to provide shade. They're wandering around in a wilderness. Here's Pharaoh's army coming down. They got to get to the Red Sea. I could go story after story after story. And everything Moses did, the people complained. And it got to the point that now the people started complaining. You know what? It was better for us in Egypt when we were in bondage than out here. And Moses was completely frustrated with the circumstance. Here I am in charge. And then Moses gets the Ten Commandments. And he comes down and they're doing things. And he breaks the Ten Commandments. And then this back and forth. And here he comes back up to the Lord. And now God says, I'm not going with you. And all these things. And Moses is absolutely frustrated. Look at verse 12. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, is that not frustration? See, God, you told me to do this, and I've done it. You haven't told me who you're going to bring with me. You haven't told me how you're going to do it. You told me I found grace in your eyes, and yet we're right in the middle of this. Have you ever been disappointed with some circumstances in your life? Have you ever had it? You know, I'm trying the best I can. I'm doing this. I'm trying to pay bills. I'm trying, you know, pay insurance. And I'm trying to do this. And I'm trying to be a dad like I'm supposed to be with my children. And then I'm trying to be husband over here. And then I got to do this. And I'm, you know, they don't have any idea. And I'm working a job. And I'm doing this. And I bear this responsibility. And then I get home and nothing's ever good enough. And blah, blah, blah. And then you got wives over here. I'm working a job. I'm trying to raise kids. And everybody's complaining about this. And I don't know how to do this. And I don't know who you are or what you are or whoever you might be. We could bring you up, put you right here in this story, and we could describe, I'm sure, things in your life, and every one of us could say at times we've been very disappointed with the circumstances that we've been given. You have individuals here that want things in their life, desire things in their life, and just hadn't worked out that way. And I'm going to tell you something, sometimes you can just get so disappointed with your circumstances. I obviously could go on and on about that this morning. I could try to describe every circumstance I could possibly think of, but I would probably miss yours. But I think you understand a little bit how Moses felt. Number two, Moses was not only disappointed in the circumstances, but he was disappointed in the people. Look at verse 3, if you would. He says, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. This is what God says. I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Look at verse 5. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. God repeats it twice. Imagine how fun it was dealing with these people. They've basically been on a camping trip 40 years. Last time I went camping, it was for one night. And I had had it at 3 a.m. Moses was not only frustrated with the circumstances, but now the people were absolutely driving him insane. They were hurting him. They were criticizing him. Nothing pleased him. Nothing worked. Everything he did, and you imagine about this, and you think about this, Moses goes up, he spends time with God on the mountain, brings down the law of God, and when he comes down, he finds the very children of Israel that God had brought out of Egypt, participating in debauchery, I mean partying, drinking, drunk, melted all the gold, made some golden calf as a god, and he comes down and sees that, and the Bible said he was so angry that he threw down the law of God. Have you ever been frustrated with people? Have you ever been hurt and disappointed by people? You ever had people that you thought you could count on and they let you down? You ever had people in your life say some things, do some things? It happens a lot with husbands and wives. In the midst of life and pressure and different things, they end up things will be said and things will be done that really hurt. Have you ever been disappointed in people? If you have, you probably know a little bit how Moses is feeling. Wasn't anybody to talk to. Wasn't anybody he could turn to. He couldn't call up, 1-800-COUNSEL-ME. 1-800-ENCOURAGE-ME. So where does he go? He goes to God. The Bible says God comes down and speaks to him like you would speak to a friend. The third thing is the biggest and the worst and the hardest. Moses was disappointed in the circumstances and he was disappointed in the people. But let me tell you another reason why Moses was so down in this chapter is because he was disappointed in himself. You say, preacher, why? Well, let me tell you something that had happened not a whole long time before that. God had come to Moses and he said, Moses, the people need water, so I want you to speak to the rock. And when you speak to the rock, God said, I'll bring forth water. And the Bible says that Moses came and he took his staff, made some big speech, and he struck the rock thrice. And when he did that, then water came out. And Moses said, why do we have to produce water for thee? Now, why would Moses say that? Moses didn't produce nothing or anything, for those of you in correct grammar. Why would he say that? Because Moses was literally almost taking credit for getting water to the people. And at the same time, Moses had directly disobeyed a command of God. In Numbers chapter 20, we find that God looks at Moses and he said, Moses, I am going to get these people to the promised land eventually, but you will never go. So here's Moses after all the frustration. And by the way, I could understand him being a little bit mad. And I can understand him maybe missing a detail or two in God's commandment. And I can understand that these people have been complaining and complaining and complaining. So he finally strikes the rock, water comes out. And I can just see the frustration. Do we always have to do this for you? But Moses had messed up. And here the very God he loved and served had to tell him, Moses, you can't go to the promised land. And now Moses' entire, all these years of thinking, I've got to get them to the promised land. I've accepted the responsibility. Now he's blown it. And he can't go. You talk about a point where you might lose your heart in this whole process, knowing I'm still leading these people, but I'm not going to get to go. Have you ever blown it? Boy, I have. Have you ever just, it kind of starts here. You shouldn't say it. It's not right to say it. There's not going to be anything good to come out of it when you do say it. But it just moves up. You get a little clammy. And this person still blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, nothing good comes of it. I could tell you a few stories this morning, but this isn't really about me. Sometimes I've blown it right here at this very church. Moses, it's one thing to be disappointed in the circumstances. It's another thing to be disappointed in people. But when you are disappointed in yourself, that's the worst that you can go through. So Moses comes, and now God says, hey, you go tell him, I'm not going with you. You're a stiff-necked people. So Moses is desperate, and he's angry, and he's hurt, and he's frustrated, and he's disappointed in the circumstances, and disappointed in the people, and even worse, he's down about his own self. So God shows up, and in verse 11, as a man speaks unto his friend. Look at verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, because you've said all these things, God, notice this, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, notice this first, show me now thy way. Observation number two. We see how he felt. Number two, what Moses requested. Isn't this interesting? This is what he asked God for. Number one, he said, God, show me your game plan. He said, God, now if I have found grace in your sight, like you said, and you said I'm the guy for the job, if that's the case, then God, show me your way. Show me what you're doing. And if you have a pen and you're keeping notes, you need to write this down by this, show me your game plan. What Moses is saying is this, show me what you're doing. How many times do we in life, we want to know, what is it, God, that you're doing? This doesn't make sense to me. He even says this in the verse, which I found very interesting. If you'll notice verse 12, I thought, you know, this is very, very, it kind of caught me by guard. Look at me, verse 13, look at that. He says, show me now thy way that I may know thee. He is saying this, God, I want to see your game plan so that I can know you, so I can know what you're doing, so I can know what your plan is, so I can know what the point of all this is. And you might be here this morning in your life, whether you admit it or not, you're asking God, God, what is it you're doing? I feel like you owe me an explanation. I feel like you need to tell me what it is you're doing. I need to know you, and I need to know what's on your mind, and I need to know your plan. He said, show me your game plan. Number two, he says, show me your grace. Now, what's interesting, if you'll notice in verse 13, look at this, if you would. He said, now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. Moses is saying this, listen, you need to show me your game plan, God. I need to know what you're doing. And then he says this, show me your grace. Now, what's that? You see, when he said, God, show me your game plan, he's saying, God, show me what you're doing. But when he said, God, show me your grace, he's saying, God, show me what you're doing for me. Notice what he says, that I may find grace in your sight. He didn't say so that we can find grace in your sight. He says that I might find grace in your sight. Think about this. He said, God, show me your way that I might know thee. I want to know what you're doing. I need to know what your plan is. And I need to know all this stuff going on. Remember, he said in the verse 12, he said, you haven't told me who's going to go with me. And you haven't told me this. And you haven't told me that. He said, God, I need to know what you're doing. But then he says that I might find grace in the sight. I need to know what you're doing with me. I need to know if I'm going to be okay. I need to know if this is going to work out for me. I need to know if I'm going to get your blessings or not. Listen to me. I want you to get this. Please, listen. Moses was saying here, the only way I know if I have grace or not is if you tell me what's going on. And dear folks, I want you to understand something. That's a lie. So many times you and I think as long as we understand something, it means that we're experiencing God's grace in our lives. Dear friend, I'm here to tell you, God's grace is sufficient whether or not you know what's going on or not.
See, Moses thought, the only way I know that God's given me grace is if he tells me what's going on. And dear friend, I'm here to tell you, there's a whole lot of Christians like that. They're mad at God unless they understand what's going on. And they're mad at God unless God gives them step by step, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm doing it, this is who I'm going to use to do it, this is the whole plan. Unless they know that, they don't think God's grace is involved. Hold on. This is about to get good. Listen to me, I want you to get this. Moses asked God to show him the way, but instead, God said, Moses, I'm not going to give you directions. I am going to give you something else. Now, notice if you would, verse 14. This is what God answered back. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Look at me, folks. Get this. Moses says, God, you need to show me what's going on. And God says, Moses, I'm not going to give you directions. Instead, I'm going to give you my presence. Look at me, folks. Do you understand that's what grace is? Grace is not God telling you what's going on. Grace is the fact that you know God's with you. You don't have to know what's going on. Why, preacher? Because God's with you. He'll take care of it. You don't have to understand. You don't have to know what he's doing. You don't even have to know who he's going to use to do it. God's grace is there because he's there. That's what grace is. God said, Moses, I'm not going to tell you what's going on. I'm just going to give you my presence, and I'm going to give you rest. You know what? Look at me. I want you to get this. A lot of folks might think sometimes, I need to know what God's doing, and I need to understand this so for me to get rest. No, you don't. All you need to know is that God's with you, and that should give you rest. You don't have to know what's going on to have rest. Bible says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, O Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. You know why you and I should have rest? Because we know we have his presence. And that's all we need. Are you all awake this morning? I'm sweating like a dog trying to get this all out. And you're already thinking of the chicken leg you're getting ready to eat. Listen, God may or may not let you know exactly what he's doing. But he has promised you that he will always give you his presence. And he has promised you that he can give you rest in the midst of your trial. Number three, what did Moses request? He said, God, show me your glory. Notice the progression. First, he says, God, show me your way. Tell me what you're doing. Then he said, God, show me your grace, which tell me what you're doing for me. And as God answered back and said, I'm just going to give you my presence and I'm going to give you my rest, all of a sudden humility begins to sweep through Moses' body. And this broken, disappointed, discouraged, depressed man says, well, then God, show me your glory. He said, preacher, what is that? When he said, God, show me that way, he said, God, what are you doing? When he said, God, show me your grace, he says, God, what are you doing for me? But when he said, God, show me your glory, he's saying, God, just show me who you are. And that's where we need to get to. That's what God's waiting for. Observation number three, what Moses learned. Let me tell you, when Moses said, God, show me your glory, and I've preached on this before, I'm not going to repeat things and show things, but I want you to notice, if you will, look at verse 19 as he begins. He said, God, show me your glory. And this is what God says. And he said, God, this is God speaking, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God's in charge. Don't you love this? And when Moses said, God, show me your glory, this is how God describes his glory. This is what God's glory is. This is who he is. First, in verse 19, we see that he is goodness. He said, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before thee. He said, preacher, what does that mean? That means in the midst of trials, confusion, etc., you and I need to realize that God is still good. Number two, he says this, my goodness is going to pass, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah. Always was, am, or will be. The greatest name for God used in the Bible. That means this, he is not only goodness, but he is God. That means this, don't you and I ever forget who's in control and who's in charge. Notice the third thing. This is God's glory. This is who He is. He said, my goodness is going to come by. I'm God. I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. Notice if you would in verse 19, He said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. You need to understand something about God. He is grace. It's not He doesn't give grace. He is grace. That's why we think if I know what's going on, that means I have God's grace. Uh-uh. He is grace. Let me tell you how you and I know we have grace is if we have Him. Is this too far over your heads this morning? I know it's a lot of information. Notice fourthly, He says, I will show mercy to whom I want to show mercy. We see fourth, He is generosity. You know, you and I don't deserve His mercy. We don't deserve it at all. We deserve everything we would get and worse. But He's given us mercy. Moses realized He's goodness, He's God, He's grace, He's generosity. Notice verse 20, I love this. And this is what God said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Moses said, God, I want to see everything of who you are. God says, if you did, you'd be killed. God's so powerful, God's so great, God's so magnificent. If we even saw God, we would die instantly. That means this, Moses also found out that He is greater. He's bigger than us. He's brighter than us. He's smarter than us. He's stronger than us. I don't care what adjective you wanted to use. He is. He's greater. God said, hey, I'm too great for you to even look at. Notice this last thing. In verse 21 to 23, we see that God is gentle. What's funny is God says, hey, listen, you couldn't handle this. Look at verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place. I love this. By me. That's the place you and I should be, by the way. Right by His side. He said, there's a place by me, I love this, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Notice that God says, I'm so powerful that you would die. So what does God do? God doesn't say, well, I'm not going to show you my glory then. God said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take care of you. You need to see my glory right now because you're disappointed in circumstances and you are disappointed in people. And yeah, you're even disappointed in yourself. And I know you need a friend right now. And I know you need to be reminded that I can do it, that I'm God, that I'm greater. So I'm going to let my glory pass by, but I'm going to hide you in a cleft of the rock. I'm going to make sure you're okay. If you saw everything, it would kill you. And I still don't know why God doesn't just want to kill us sometimes. Just squeeze our heads the way we are to Him. God says, I'm going to cover you with my hand, make sure you're taken care of. That's God's glory. I want you to notice observation number four. How Moses was changed. How Moses felt. What Moses requested. What Moses learned, and last, how Moses was changed, and we'll be done. Look at chapter 34, if you would. Just turn over one page if you're there, and I just want you to see this, and we'll be done. I love this. You say, well, preacher, what happened? Well, God's glory did pass by on that rock. And after God's glory passed by, do you know what? Moses stayed up there with God 40 days and 40 nights with no food, no drink, and all he did for the entire time was write down what God said to write down. He spent time with God Himself. And you and I would think, wow. Do you know you can do the exact same thing right now? Do you know you don't have to go up on a mountain? Do you know you can already read what He has written down?
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin Broadcast today. God bless you.